This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. We got a couple things this hour. I want to touch on this one more thing on this SPLC story. I'll get to that in a moment. Wonderful story out of New York City that's making me laugh. We'll make fun of Maria Salazar. We'll do emails. Savannah Hernandez is coming up a half hour from now. She was just beaten by a group of communist animals. We'll find out what happened there. All that and so much more coming up this hour on the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, remember that SPLC story from yesterday? Southern Poverty Law Center, communist front group. They've had a pretty open goal to simply reduce the white population of America. I can't believe any company has a goal like that, but that's been their goal for quite some time. And they've been finding ways to attack people on the right for a very long time. Now, you knew all that. You also knew, courtesy of the news from yesterday, that they've been sending some money to the KKK and other groups like that. But walk through this with me, because I'm looking at a headline here. SPLC, this is from Free Beacon, offshore assets ballooned as embattled left-wing darling secretly funded KKK and other violent extremist groups and reported owning accounts in the Cayman Islands. So, let's figure this out. The SPLC has communists who fund them. All right, we got that. We now know that in the wake of that Charlottesville thing where they did send money to white supremacists, we know that the SPLC started taking in a lot more money than they had previously been taking in. Okay, knew all that. All right. Now, it's just a theory. I just want you to walk with me here. We know that the Biden administration took over. He brought in Merrick Garland as Attorney General. We discussed all this last night. And Merrick Garland, along with Christopher Wray at the FBI, decided to sick the entire Department of Justice on white supremacists and white supremacy. In fact, they used that as justification to do all manner of evil things, including the infiltration of the Catholic Church, which we found out later from a whistleblower. So, the SPLC throws some money at the KKK to try to make the right look like white supremacists. Biden administration uses that kind of a thing to go after Republicans. Okay. How sure are you that government money didn't flow into the SPLC? I'm not staring at evidence of this. I know they're going to comb through all the books and we'll try to figure this out. But how sure are you that, let's say I'm the FBI, if you will. Let's say I'm the evil secret state police agency known as the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And because my entire bureau is staffed full of communists, I want to use my FBI badge to arrest enemies of the communist revolution. FBI has a really big budget. CIA does too. CIA also gets involved in things like this. How difficult would it be for someone at the FBI, CIA, to find a way to get a bunch of government cash into the hands of the communist organization that is helping set up your investigation into Republicans. Chris, I need you to level with me right now. Do I sound like tinfoil on my head guy? I didn't think so either. I was brewing on this. It was the headline that stood out to me. Because remember, we found out, and I forget exactly what the numbers were, but I know that the SPLC had taken in so much before Charlottesville. And that, well, here it is. The SPLC, this is from the article, was able to afford such payments thanks in part to its offshore assets, which skyrocketed over that decade, growing from $44 million in non-U.S. equity holdings in the year ending 2013 to a staggering $233 million in 2021. So this organization, $44 million in holdings, and then 1 year into the Biden presidency, $233 million holdings. Now, this next part, again, this is courtesy of Free Beacon's reporting. This next part might be equally interesting. Quote, since then, that would be the 430% increase, $230 million thing. Since then, the SPLC's non-U.S. equity holdings have dropped $130 million. Huh. I wonder what changed. I wonder what the SPLC did. Man, they must have a really incredible business model. I wonder what they did to get such an over 400% increase in their holdings in less than 10 years. I wonder how many entities out there have the financial power to dump that kind of money into an organization. I know a couple entities that do. And I know when you went to work today, the government taxed you to fund those agencies. Not saying it happened, because I don't know that. And I don't know that we'll ever know that, because if we start talking about organizations like maybe CIA, they have a million and one ways to make sure that information never comes to light. Right? A cutout for a cutout for a cutout. I'm not saying we'll ever know, but I am very curious. At the end of this little rainbow, Democrats got to do what communists always want to do. They got to arrest their political opponents using the forces of government. In order to get there, they had to create a white supremacist boogeyman. In order to get there, they used the Southern Poverty Law Center. And at the same time all this was happening, hundreds of millions of dollars just kind of showing up in the old account. Man, hey, Chris, have hundreds of millions of dollars ever showed up in your account? You know what? In an instant, that wouldn't be fair. Over the span of 8 years, hundreds of millions of dollars. Has it just ever happened to you? Uh-uh. Hasn't, huh? That's weird. It's never happened to me either. Oh, I'm sure it's just a coincidence. Hey, Jesse, don't you think we need a break? There's very little good news right now. It's true. Give us a five-day history week. Come on, buddy. History is basically begging. All right, so I have some great news for you. Write it down. You ready for this? I'm going to deliver it to you. On May, so I have the state right, May 4th. May 4th is a Monday. That's that day when all the annoying Star Wars people do the May the 4th be with you thing, but we're not going to go into that right now. On May 4th, history is coming. You already know what the subject is. In case you don't know, it's Napoleon's grand invasion and then disastrous retreat of Russia. This took place at the exact same time we were fighting the War of 1812. Chris, you know what year that was? What, Chris? It was a test to see if you were paying attention. Chris failed. Anyway, it was the War of 1812 we were fighting. While we were fighting that war, there was a titanic struggle going on in Europe, and it's awful and amazing. May 4th, it's coming, and it will not be a one-day thing. As always, I don't necessarily plan these things out. I certainly don't write a bunch of things down, so I don't know how long it's going to be. I think 2 days is probably a given, because what we normally do is we try to do it on the second hour of the show. So I basically have an hour every day. 2 days is a given. 3 days is probably a given. I just don't know how long it's going to take me to get through that tale, but I think you will enjoy it. There you go. May the 4th. It's coming. Great news out of New York. Next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. And remember, you can email the show your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And I'm going to get to some of those emails in a moment, but I have great news. Do me a favor, raise a fist.
I don't want the Michigan hand after your August primary. I want the Michigan fist. I want that Michigan fist.
Over 70% of the East Village, for people not familiar with New York City, East Village is one of the hoods there, all right? A borough, if you will. East Village is a big part of New York City. Huge commie part of New York City. Over 70% of that part of New York City, they voted for Mamdani. Oh, well, that's wonderful. Yeah, here's the headline. East Villagers sue Mamdani to stop the relocation of notorious Bellevue men's homeless shelter into their neighborhood. I love these stories. These stories, because I am a terrible person, these stories nourish my soul. The thought of some well-to-do East Village communist woman probably bragged to all of her friends about voting for Zohran, probably even has a Zohran Mamdani bumper sticker on her annoying little bike. The thought of her having to walk by a smelly homeless shelter that devalues her brownstone in the neighborhood, it blesses me. What, Chris? What? Chris said this is her chance to wake up. But here's what I've accepted, Chris. They're never going to wake up. The majority of cult followers don't wake up, if you will. They don't wake up. The majority of cult followers travel with the cult all the way down to death. Yes, there is a small percentage of them who will wake up and they'll leave the cult. But that is not the majority of them. The truth is you should fight as hard as you can for the communist in your life. Do the best you can do to try to get them to wake up. Present them with facts and lay everything out for them. And they do have a chance. I don't want to act like they don't have a chance. But most of them will not wake from their slumber. Understanding that can lead you to this if you also are a terrible person. If you're an evil communist and you're mental illness is going to contribute to the torching of my society, I want you to suffer. I want you to experience pain and suffering for what you've done to the country I love so much. If I have to go to a gulag, not ideal. I don't want to go to a gulag. I want to sit in my chair and watch documentaries. But if I have to go to a gulag and suffer in terrible ways, I want you bunking right next to me. When I am starving, I will have little comfort because starvation is of little comfort. But when I roll over and I see you starving too, that blesses me. It blesses me to no end. I want stupid people to suffer for their stupidity. And it's not only because I'm a terrible person. That suffering is oftentimes the best chance that person has of waking up. If they are ever going to wake up. Maybe, just maybe, that well-to-do woman we discussed, that liberal Aunt Peggy, who campaigned for Mam Dhani and voted for Mam Dhani, and now she's going to have a bunch of smelly homeless people crapping on the sidewalk out in front of her apartment. Is she going to wake up? Probably not. But maybe when she steps in a pile of human excrement in her $1,000 heels on her way home from the club on Friday night, maybe she looks down, mortified, disgusted, and maybe something snaps in her in that moment and she says, I've had enough of this. This isn't working. This voting for communists and communism, it's not working. I'm not doing that anymore. These right-wingers, I may hate them. They may be evil. Nazi and Hitler. I'm going to go find out what they actually think because now my stilettos are full of poop and I am upset with the whole thing. Chris, it's the only shot she's got. I don't say it at just cruelty. Now, I understand the likelihood is she'll say, oh, that's really gross. And she'll go spray off her shoes, maybe throw them in the trash, and then campaign for the next Democrat. I understand when her friend gets beaten up and mugged, she'll say, sorry, you went through that. And then she'll go campaign for the next Democrat. I understand that. But if there is a chance that she can be saved, that she can be redeemed, that chance is probably going to have to come from pain and suffering. I wish it wasn't the case. I wish that you could sit down with her for 5 minutes and lay everything out and she would wake up. Her mind doesn't work great. And in large part, that's because she hasn't been taking a female vitality stack from Chalk, if we're being honest with each other. A male vitality stack or a female vitality stack from Chalk is about your mind. That's what it's about. It's about you and me deciding, you know what? I shouldn't be low energy all the time. I shouldn't be foggy all the time, forgetting things all the time. I shouldn't be experiencing these senior moments all the time. I should embrace natural herbal supplements from Chalk. My mind will work great. And oh, by the way, fellas, you think a 20% increase in your testosterone levels in 90 days might just change your life? Let me tell you, it will. You will be better at home. You'll be better at play. You'll be better at work. Every part of your life is about to improve. And this is natural herbal supplements, not pill bottles and freaking needles. Naturally. C-H-O-Q. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. All right? Savannah Hernandez joins us. She was assaulted. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Thursday. Remember, you need to email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And if we're coming back with music that terrible, that can only mean one thing. The guest I told you was coming, Savannah Hernandez, TPUSA journalist, decided she wasn't going to pick a song. And the rules of the show are simple. If you don't pick a song, we get the worst song we can possibly find to introduce you. Savannah, what were you thinking?
You know, Jesse, I actually personally really love that song, so I have no regrets.
Gosh, jeez. You know what? I didn't even consider that you're a woman and this whole thing could backfire on us. But you know what? We'll set that aside for the moment. Many people have seen the video. I'm held off on having you on because I'm sure you're about sick of talking about it, but you're always out there throwing yourself in the middle of these scummy protests. What happened at the last one?
Yeah, Jesse. So basically, I was once again targeted because I work for Turning Point USA. But this time it got a lot more violent and I was mobbed and assaulted by an entire family. This has been, thank you for giving me time, by the way. It's been a difficult thing to talk about and I ended up having to cancel all of my media hits last week because I did suffer a concussion, multiple sprains, just, you know, the mental issues that are coming along with being violently thrown to the ground by somebody, by a man three times your size. So it's been difficult. And I think this is the first time in my career where I've really struggled to not only talk about a story, but also have really faced a lot of repercussions in terms of just like the psychological impact it's having on me. But I went to go cover the anti-ICE protest in Minneapolis. This is a nationwide protest. It was basically their F-ICE protest. So they were using a bunch of sex toys to conduct this protest. Yeah, that was one aspect of this. And I was there to do point-and-shoot journalism because I already know how the left-wing is. I was there by myself, and I was like, I am not even going to try to conduct interviews today. It's very much going to be observational and point-and-shoot. I had my press badge out. I made sure to stand with the other, you know, very clearly marked press people, a.k.a. left-wing streamers, so that people knew that I was a part of the press. I went off at one point to just stand near the fence by myself. Keep in mind, we're across the street from the Whipple ICE facility, which has been one of the most contentious places in Minneapolis because they have been protesting and rioting over, you know, the deportation efforts that have been taking place in Minneapolis. So I go to upload a clip. I am confronted by William Scott Kelly, who happens to be the same exact protester who was already arrested for storming the church in Minneapolis a couple months ago that resulted in children crying and sobbing because not only was their church service shut down, but you had adults violently screaming at them. Same guy comes up to me. I didn't recognize him initially, but he comes up to me and starts aggressively yelling at me, saying that I work for Turning Point USA, trying to ask me very combative questions. And at that point, I was just like, look, I'm not here for me. I'm not here to counter-protest you. I'm here to just cover this for news purposes. It didn't matter. A mob formed around me at that point, and this woman named Diana Strushko came up to me and just really started aggressively telling me that because I you know, work for Turning Point USA, everything I stand for is bad, and I don't care about women that have been raped, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what was going on at that point, but she starts shoving me. I'm trying to, like, calm her down. Her husband then comes up behind me and body checks me. At that point, I'm like, okay, like, leave me alone. I try to walk away. Their daughter then comes up to me, and there was an alternate angle that came out of Chris Ashrushko, who is the father in this trio, telling his own daughter, Paige, to come up to me and blow the whistle in my ear. So his daughter comes up to me and starts blowing a whistle in my ear. Now, I was standing up against the fence in hopes that a police officer would see that I was being surrounded by an angry mob and potentially come and try to defuse the situation or help get me out of there, which is why I didn't leave right away, because I was like, okay, first off, because they told me, like, you need to get the F out of here. And I was like, first off, I'm on a public street. I don't have to. And then second off, I'm surrounded by a mob. Like, what do you want me to do? So this girl, Paige, is blowing a whistle about an inch from my face. I put my hand up to guard myself. I try to leave. And at that point, Paige, like, all hell breaks loose. Paige slams me to the ground. I put my arm out to further defuse the situation. She tackles me again. I get up. Again, I'm trying to leave this entire time. And again, the reason why I didn't want to leave myself was because I knew as soon as I was trying to walk through this crowd, if I touched one person, they were going to say that was an assault and start attacking me, which is exactly what happened. Her mother then comes up behind me and accuses me of hitting her daughter, tries to charge me. And then I'm still leaving. I'm turned around and I'm like, don't touch me. The father, Chris Ashrushko, then slams me to the ground. I pop up. The first thing I see when I come back up is Paige back in my face. And at that point, I was like, okay, these people aren't going to let me leave. I guess I have to defend myself. I tried to push my way out, resulting in Paige and her mother then tackling me to the ground again. And at that point, after I'd already been assaulted five times, you know, one of which was by a man, then the police showed up and they had to escort me out of there because the mob was still following me, still screaming at me, still saying that I was the agitator and this entire situation was my fault. And this entire family has now been on a press tour asserting that this was all my fault and that I was the aggressor and that I hit first.
Speaking with TPUSA reporter Savannah Hernandez. Savannah, what do we know about this dirtball family?
Well, we know that they're extremely radical. They have social media accounts under the names Angry Minnesota Angry Father, Minnesota Angry Daughter. This father, Chris, has gone on Jen Psaki's show. So she propped him up, and on this show, he's saying that he is a peaceful protester. He's not the rah-rah, get-in-your-face type. He's not violent. He and his family shy away from violence. Yet, at the first sign of finding somebody, you know, in the vicinity that they even thought differently than them, they became the most aggressive and violent people I've ever experienced in my life, Jesse, to the point where it has taken me almost 2 full weeks to be able to talk about this without wanting to cry. I mean, I still do. Like, I don't know, Jesse, you know me. I like making light of things and kind of just laughing things off. I've been assaulted before. I've been brutally mobbed like this before. But this time just hit different because I guess in my mind I was like, it's noon on a Saturday. I'm not going to get mobbed because I'm not doing anything. I'm not interviewing people and I'm standing here. I'm not trying to engage with anybody, but it didn't matter.
Savannah, okay, so I'm going to ask a question and I'm worried I'm not going to like the answer. Is the federal government, federal law enforcement, are they getting involved? Are we going to see people in handcuffs? These assaults are on camera. I've watched them with my own two aging eyes. What is happening?
Yes, I am happy to report that the federal government is involved. Multiple agencies within the DOJ are involved. DHS, HSI also involved. So they did very quickly reach out to me. However, as it stands now, again, it's been a week and a half since this assault was caught on camera in 4K Ultra HD. The county attorney's office, or the DA of Hennepin County, has not even made a statement. And so far, regarding the federal government, I haven't heard any updates. But I do know that there is at least an ongoing investigation because they did attack me on federal property and also, too, impeded on my First Amendment rights. They were mocking my religion. They were, of course, highlighting my race. So quite a few harassment instances there.
Savannah, what are you having for dinner tonight? You know, Church's Chicken has these jalapeno cheddar cheese bombers that are pretty special.
You know, Jesse, I'm one of the anti-seed oil people, and I know you hate that.
Gosh.
But maybe I will go to Churches and get these jalapeno poppers to help my healing process, because sometimes junk food is good for that, you know?
I don't even think they have seeds in them. At least I've never tasted them. Anyway, Savannah Hernandez, keep your chin up. Go get some jalapeno cheese bombers. Chris, when's the last time we got Church's Chicken here? I feel like it's been a while. Every time, I feel like I overorder the cheese bombers, and then they get here and we wipe out the cheese bombers. They're just, it's one of the great menu items that nobody knows about. No one knows about it. People know about Tunnel to Towers, though, and that's good. It's good that people know that there's an organization out there caring for widows and orphans. That's a very good thing. And I love it that Tunnel to Towers has been doing this for 25 years, and they still have the charity rating they have because, unlike so many charities out there, this is not a scam designed to line the pockets of the people who work there. The people who work there are the ones who have lost. And they know how important it is to come alongside these families. Fallen first responder families, Gold Star families, 400 soldiers, I'm looking at a headline here, 400 U.S. soldiers wounded in Operation Epic Fury. Who comes alongside them? Tunnel to Towers does. And they can only do this with your $11 a month. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. If you missed any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Of course, ask Dr. Jesse tomorrow. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com is where you send your email address. I can't stop thinking about those jalapeno cheese bombers now. And I think I need to get some tonight. It's going to involve coming home a little later than normal from work. And historically, when I have come home a little later than normal from work, Ob knows it's because I got some sort of food on the way home. What, Chris? What? Chris said, just have it at work. No, I'm not going to have time. We only have like an hour left in the show. There's just not time to do this appropriately. I have to get it on the way home. And Ob is making her homemade hamburger helper tonight, which everybody knows is like my favorite thing in the world. But I need a little appetizer. I need a little jalapeno cheese bomber appetizer. It's going to involve being 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late. What, Chris? Chris said, what do I dip it in? Ranch. Ranch. Now, this, you're going to have to set aside your ridiculous aversion to ranch, Chris. You need that tang, that kind of milky tang that goes with the jalapeno cheese bomber. A milky tang.
I don't want the Michigan hand after your August primary. I want the Michigan fist. I want that Michigan fist.
The subject of this one is, hey, Christian Jesse. Hey, Chris, it's this angry Jewish guy again. I see that no amount of entreaties will cause you to desist and refrain from the highly offensive and unnecessary use of the term Jewish producer, Chris. You are obviously suffering from some form of mental deficiency which prevents you from adapting new behaviors, or you are just a stone-cold anti-Semite. And I love the subject of this one. He called it, Chris said, both. Chris said, the subject of this one was, hey, Christian Jesse. Buddy, listen, I should probably explain something. I need to explain this. You are the kind of person that gets offended. I understand that. There are people like that. You have learned throughout your life that you can use this as a weapon. You're being offended. You can prompt others to action by telling them what you said was offensive, what you did was offensive. You use that because it has worked for you your entire life. I just need to clarify a couple things. It does not work on me. It is not effective on me at all. I don't care that you're offended. I don't care that you don't like it that I say Jewish producer Chris. And I don't care what you call me either. It's just that your opinion of me is not significant. It's completely meaningless, as a matter of fact. Your offense is completely meaningless as well. But there's one more thing I have to throw on this, and this is the part you're really going to dislike. Maybe you dislike the things I already said. This is the part you're really going to dislike. And longtime listeners of the show will know this. Anyone who knows me knows this. Ob says it's because I'm unfeeling. My mentor, Michael Berry, says, what does he call me? A narcissistic sociopath. But whatever the reasons are, I can't psychologize myself. It's not possible to offend me. It's not possible. You think maybe you can, but you cannot. And it's not possible because I don't value anything you say. So you can write in emails and you can insult my religion. You can insult my wife, my kids, my dog, my show. You can insult Chris. I mean, I do that. Corey. You can insult my town. You can insult whatever it is. I'm never going to get offended. I'm sorry. It doesn't work for me. It. By the way, I have great news, though. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. It does work on a lot of very feminized American men. It works on a lot of them now. I'm offended. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to offend anybody. It works on a lot of them. I'm just not the guy. Jewish producer Chris, wouldn't you agree with that? See, Chris knows. Chris also knows about Relief Factor. Chris understands that living with pain is now optional, courtesy of a supplement. You know my deep hatred for pills and medications. I just don't want to take them. And I understand that day may come, but my goal is to stay off of them forever. Try to find these natural solutions. Well, what do you do about pain? Got to grab a pill bottle, right? Whether it's over-the-counter, prescription. I'm in pain. I'm hurting. I'm in pain. Why don't you let Relief Factor take it away? 100% drug-free. A unique formula of natural ingredients. It supports your body's response to inflammation. Over a million people have tried it. Almost 70% of them go on to order more. The stuff is miraculous. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. ReliefFactor.com, the 1-800-4-RELIEF. I wanted to ask you, by the way, to please say a prayer again. I know the Iran stuff is going on. We'll touch on that really, really quickly. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it again. But this headline is something. 400 U.S. soldiers are wounded in Operation Epic Fury. So far, 400 soldiers. You know we've already lost some, but 400 have been wounded. Let's not ignore them. Let's keep them in our prayers. These are people in service to our country who followed orders, and they went over there in various capacities, and they were hurt. And from what I understand, some of these wounds are pretty bad. We're talking about shrapnel wounds, or these are explosions, buildings falling. Some of these wounds are very bad. And some of these people are going to carry these wounds around with them for the rest of their lives. And there's another thing about it. The war itself and this whole thing is so controversial and it's so unpopular overall that these people are not getting attention. Affection is probably the better way I could put it. Attention is not necessarily what I wanted to say. The general public doesn't even know that there are 400. The general public just doesn't realize this. These people and their families need your prayers. As we speak, there's a young man, a young woman, laying in a hospital bed now, and they're wondering if they're ever going to be able to walk again, have a normal life again. Maybe there are some physical injuries that are really unsightly, and they're sitting there saying to themselves, am I going to be able to get a spouse, have children? People, as you're listening to my voice, there are people going through that kind of mental anguish right now. All I'm asking is we round out this hour. We have another hour with Carol Roth and everything else, but as we round out this hour, all I'm asking is that you keep those people in your prayers, please. All right? Keep those people in your prayers. They need it. We are going to do a lot of emails next hour. Before we do that, I'll touch on just a couple of the latest things on this Iran stuff. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.